Okay, another hour to go of open lines for you here on Coast to Coast AM. By the way, if any of you have ever run into a psychic vampire, share that story with us. I think they're everywhere. Okay, welcome back to Coast. Here we go again to get this hour underway. Open lines. Chris is in Massachusetts, first time caller. Chris, good to have you with us.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I'm just a little curious. You're a vet, and thank you for your service, and I'm a vet as well.
Thank you.
With Navy Seavey. It disturbs me a little bit that nobody that seems to be running for president is a vet.
Precisely.
And I understand that some people serve in other capacities, but you would think there would be one or maybe two that would be in the running. And I was a little curious about your take on that, but you know, I'm not psychic. I don't have any intuition or anything, but I have a sneaking suspicion that this election is going to end up coming down to Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump.
I think you're probably right. You know, in terms of, you know, having any military service, I really think that our commander in chief of our military should have some experience.
And I completely agree. I don't care if you served as an officer or enlisted or, but that you serve.
That's right.
You know, and my problem is, you know, I love politics. I've always watched it. I've got friends on the left and on the right, and we always discuss these things, but it just kind of seems like this one's kind of coming down to two lunatics.
This is a strange one. It really is. And of course, tempers flare. You know, I make a prediction who I think the candidates will be, and people think that's who I support. No, far from it. I don't support any of them. I just merely say it the way I see it. And I think right now, based on what I see, Hillary Clinton will get the nomination over Bernie Sanders. It has nothing to do with Bernie as a person, as a human, as a politician. I'm just making a prediction.
Right, and I'm doing the same thing, and I don't mean to upset anybody by calling them lunatics either. It just seems that I'm a moderate, and I've always been a moderate, and I've always kind of counted myself as a Republican. But it's gotten so far left and so far right that I'm ashamed of both parties at this point.
You would think one thing, that with the selection of candidates in this great country of ours, that we could field some other ones. But, you know, the Donald Trump phenomenon, which is going on, he's a phenom right now. People are just fed up with the government. And that's one reason why they've turned to him.
Yeah. And like I said, I see that. I mean, I've got my own frustrations. And so I understand that. I'm going to vote. I'm not going to not do it. But it's really kind of coming down to a write-in at this point, because I cannot see myself voting for either one of them, and I really don't want to vote for a non-vet. It just bothers me.
You're going to have to write in none of the above.
None of the above or somebody else, I don't know. But thanks for taking my call. I just kind of wanted to air that.
Okay, Chris, you take care of yourself up there in Massachusetts, where I would spend many a summer in the Boston area as a little boy. Linda is in Illinois and now on Coast to Coast. Hello, Linda. Good morning.
Hey, George. I love you and Tommy. I don't know what I would do at night without you guys.
Well, we are here for a long, long time.
I know,
time.
And I never miss you.
Thank
now,
you.
The first thing I want to say, honey, is can you maybe bring on Art Bell as a guest some night?
I had asked a long time ago, Linda, and,
so nice to
and he doesn't want to do that. So, yeah, I don't ask anymore.
Okay, and then the next thing is that if it came down to Hillary, there is no possible way I would ever vote for that woman. So
if it was Hillary against Trump, would you vote for Trump?
Oh, heck yes.
In a heartbeat.
I, you know what I always tell everybody? I says, I'll put Cheetah down and put an X next to it.
I love
but
it.
There's no way that woman should be in office. She is so corrupt. And if you watch her on TV, George, when she's lying, She will look down and to the left.
I have to notice that.
She don't even look at the camera.
That's going to be interesting. How do you feel about Bill probably coming back in?
Well, you know what they said on TV one night? We know what Hillary will do, so who will Bill do? That came across the TV.
Interesting take. Okay, thanks, Linda.
All right, honey. Love you both so much.
Well, thank you. All right, Tommy, Linda loves you.
Did she say who will Bill do?
Yes. Yes. Goodness. So you have a text. Hey, what's going on with my Skype line? How come it's not working?
I don't know. Let's call in.
George 97313. Somebody check my Skype line.
It's on. It's up here. It's working.
You see it working?
I do. I see it right now. Richard from Asheville. He writes, he says, we have many issues on this planet that need to be fixed, and I'm wondering if you think mankind will be here on the Earth in 50 years from now, or do you think our actions today will be our demise?
I don't think our actions today will be our demise. There's always that possibility that an asteroid could be a planet killer and hit us. That could happen. That could happen. But I will bet that in 50 years, our kids will be there. Little Charlie, my little four-year-old granddaughter, looks like Matilda.
Would be 54.
Will be 54 years old. I, of course.
That's funny.
Won't be around.
She looks like the little girl in Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, she looks identical to her.
So on the panel over the weekend, though, I think they asked that question. Most of the panelists seemed like we would be here, they thought. Do you remember that?
Well, do you remember what I said?
I don't.
When I looked at the entire room and said, in 70 years, you'll all be dead. They kind of like went, they gasped.
By the way, nice opening up with a depressing thought. That was your opener.
That was my opener. It was true. That's right. Normally I sing and dance. Ha, ha, ha. Not that time.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks. One more text after we come back at the break. Kyle in Livermore, California. Mike's out there in Livermore as well. Hello, Kyle.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep, sure can.
Hi, I wanted to continue on that thought that another caller had about the NSA. I'm looking at an article by the BBC right now that says that they can track pretty much all of our text messages. I'm looking at another article by Slate that says they can do a lot of other stuff too. So I'm just wondering why the government doesn't go through the NSA to get all the information, that could supposedly be on the.
I would guess, Kyle, they probably already have. They just probably want to get into that phone for more information, but they probably have a lot on this guy.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for taking my call.
Okay. Thanks for calling. Appreciate you checking in with us. Let's go to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Ed's with us. Hello, Ed. Welcome to the program.
Hello, George. How you doing tonight?
Good, Eddie. Good. How about you?
Oh, excellent, excellent. George, I got two or three things I just want to run past you real quick.
Okay.
In 1963, I was laying on the couch, 13 years old, with a patch over my eye after having a cataract eye surgery over the one good eye that I had, listening to the assassination of John F. Kennedy. The next day, I was still laying on the couch, listening to the TV as Oswald was assassinated by Ruby. You know, and even then, as a 13-year-old boy, I said to myself, something's not right about this. The previous year before that happened, my aunt had gave me an album called, it was The First Family, was the name of the album, Von Meter.
Von Meter, that's right. He did his Kennedy impression.
Yeah, yeah. But anyways, you know, as a 13-year-old boy, I said to myself, now, this something is absolutely not right about this. And my dad, everybody all thought the same thing, right? And if you look at what went down during that time and all the people that surrounded it, including the Warren Commission, Alan Dulles being fired from the CIA, he was in the process of busting up the CIA.
Yeah, he hated Kennedy.
Yeah, yeah, but he was on the Warren Commission after Kennedy was assassinated.
That's right.
Gerald Ford on the Warren Commission went on to become vice president for Richard M. Nixon, headed up a group of guys called the 40. It was an assassination team that took out heads of state throughout the world that needed to be taken out, so they thought. And Jesse Ventura that had the conspiracy theory show that he had on. He had the young man on that was a son to
Hunt,
here,
to E. Howard Hunt.
Exactly. And he told that, essentially, that he was a bench warmer waiting to go in, if need be, and that Nixon basically headed up to 40, and of course Johnson was supposedly a part of this. Of course, he stood to gain from it too. But you know, I remember that. I look back on it, and I followed. Now check this out. I followed every documentary about the John F. Kennedy assassination as a man growing up throughout my lifetime, and this is something I have noticed all the way up until 2000 when the World Trade Center's come down. All the documentaries that you've seen on the History Channel and every other show pretty much indicated it was definite conspiracy. There was a definite possibility that somebody else, it was a coup d'etat, and almost all the documentaries indicated that. Now, after the 9/11 incident took place, and I believe that's when the global world order got its grips on this country, all of a sudden, they've done away with all the documentaries that gave any indication that there might have been a coup d'etat, and now they've got it all pointed towards Oswald as being the lone crazy assassin.
And you are so spot on, you get this, even at that age of 13, I was 13 that year too.
Well, see, you know, here's the thing, and here's what people don't realize. When you're blind, you don't learn to hear better. What happens is that's your main sense. So what you do is dialogue. It's all about dialogue. I listen to talk radio 24/7. You go in every room in my house, and it kind of freaks people out. They turn a light switch on, and what happens? Talk radio comes on. You know, whether it be the Glenn Beck Show or the Mark Levin Show, mm-hmm. or Michael Savage or you or Clyde Lewis or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not doing that, I'm back here on the Internet with my talking software on YouTube listening to Alex Jones and L.A. Mazzulli and Stephen Quayle and all them guys.
Boy, you know it all. My God.
I've been listening to you guys, and the information I've picked up is just unbelievable. But, you know, George, you do get a point where you get an overload of it, but I definitely believe, without a doubt, it was a coup d'etat that took Kennedy out, and since 9/11 took place, they've done away with all documentaries that would have shown you that there was a conspiracy. Now it's all pointed towards the lone shooter, Oswald, the crazy man.
Yeah, they
now,
want to go back to
that. Something that came to my mind, when Barack Obama, when he went into the White House, and I remember this because Glenn Beck has a very, very informative show, and he's always pushed the envelope on information. And one of the things that he did when he went in the White House is he put together a team of artists that he met with discussing history. Now, you have to ask yourself, well, what was behind that? Well, I got an idea what was behind that. They were going to go in and rewrite history where necessary, because they're trying to indoctrinate young people today not to know the past. And I know that sounds far-fetched, but why else would they need artists? And I noticed right after that, the History Channel, that's one of the main shows I listen to as far as TV entertainment goes. And all the documentaries on the History Channel now have been completely wiped off the slate. Now it seems like most of the documentaries they've got on there now are all aimed towards global world order.
Sure. And our ancient aliens.
Our ancient aliens. You know, one more theory about that, by the way. Okay, Chuck Misler. I have the most respect for Chuck Misler. He is very elderly man now, bad health. Chuck Misler has got several videos, which I've saved to my YouTube back there, on extraterrestrials. Now, his theory on that was that these extraterrestrials are from a 10th dimension. They're interdimensional. Now, and the reason I would think Chuck is credible is because he was an aeronautical engineer. He was a biblical scholar.
And some people believe that they're dimensional.
Yeah. Well, see, this is what he explained. He said there's no possible way from a law of physics that the craft could just be there 1 second, boom, just gone like that. He said that automatically tells you that they have to be coming from another dimension, because there's no vehicle possible that can make the kind of movements that they make and just vanish like that.
Unless they're time machines.
Well, unless they're time machines. Now, this is what he said. He said if they're demonic in origin, he said they can manifest themselves in any shape and any color that you could imagine. And he said they could disappear, just blink, gone. Right into another dimension. And, you know, he explained the physics of it. And the man's an aeronaut, was an aeronautical engineer, so his credentials were a mile long.
It could be.
I'm sure you heard of Chuck Misler,
right? Oh, of course. He's been on our show a long time ago.
Yeah, I figured he had, you know. And L.A. Mizzouli, here's one more.
Oh, I love L.A. He's a great guy.
I was listening to L.A. Mizzouli talking to Dr. Roger Lear. They were removing implants.
The late Dr. Roger.
The late Dr. Roger Lear. They were removing implants. And Dr. Lear took these implants, this one particular implant, and he put it in a cup of blood, and it grew back together. L.A. Mizzouli asked him, he said, well, what would be the purpose of that? And he said, well, to alter your DNA. Okay, now let's fast forward to Catherine Albrecht. I believe she's the one that keeps you abreast of all the technology and, of course, the mark of the beast and
what have you. That's her.
Okay. Now this is just a theory, and I think L.A. Mizzouli came up with the same conclusion. When they start coming to a point where they want people to take this mark under the skin, and if it does, in fact, have the capability to alter one's DNA, then that could very well be what would change a person's demeanor altogether.
Oh, there's no question about it. That's the plan. That's how they want to change people and change things on a huge scale. Let's take a few more calls, then the break. Ed, thanks. You're very perceptive, by the way, about the Kennedy situation. Let's go to Los Angeles. Albert's with us, west of the Rockies. Hello, Albert.
Hey, good morning, George. Tom, how are you guys?
Good. Thanks for hanging in there.
Oh, of course. Hey, I just I want to let you know I've been listening to you since I got out of the Navy in 2007.
Another Navy guy. Perfect.
Yep, Navy nuke here. And I don't glow in the dark. Popular
good.
Well, I just wanted to talk a little bit, a lot of great calls. I wanted to talk about this Apple issue that's been going on.
Yeah, sure thing. What's your take on that?
Well, I just think it's really interesting. I remember back in the day, I joined in 2000, pre-9/11, and I was in through 2006. And I remember the big thing in the early 2000s that was getting released was, do you remember hearing about this, George, the Echelon project?
Yep, sure do.
Yeah. So we had Echelon, then we had Carnivore, and then there were a bunch of things, and then Snowden came into the picture and released everything about the NSA. And the crazy thing is, I remember there was a Washington Post article that came out in like 2008, 2009, talking about this huge military-industrial complex for gathering information on the war on terror. Do you remember that? It was
yep.
like a million people had a TS or a top secret or higher. And it got me thinking a little bit that it basically protected these intelligence gathering agencies from FOIA. You know, if you're contracting it out, I mean, this is just me speculating, but if you're contracting defense work or intelligence gathering work to basically corporations, they're protected from
That's
what they do.
All classified.
It's all classified, and we're not privy to any of that information. And with the release of the Snowden documents, now, you know, I have mixed feelings about him. Part of me is like, okay, I get he's a whistleblower, but the other part of me looks at him as if he is a traitor. You know, there are two sides.
Well, to me, you're not a traitor if you are revealing illegal activity.
Absolutely.
And that's what he did.
And he revealed illegal activity, but along with that, he also revealed a lot of other things. Besides the point, what I'm getting at is, we have a lot of technology and tools. Not we, but the agency.
Absolutely. Albert, hold on. We're at the break. I don't want to lose your call, so I'll come right back to you in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM. Open lines during the week. I hope you like them. On our next Coast to Coast program, John Truman Wolf joins us with his work on the coming financial crisis. Get ready for that. And then David Icke joins us talking about world events only through the eyes of Mr. Icke. Okay, welcome back to do our final segment of Open Lines here on Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you. Let's go back to Albert in Los Angeles. Go ahead, Albert. Finish up with your story.
Hi, George. Thanks again.
Sure.
As I was saying, I think with all these programs that are being farmed out, we have a very large intelligence gathering network. And so with these terror groups and these terror cells that are out there possibly operating, you had an incident that happened in San Bernardino, and it was absolutely horrific. However, I think that it's a dangerous precedent. And what I mean by that is, you basically have a backdoor program that could be invented by Apple to get into a cell phone.
Yep.
Now, with the changing of the times, we are seeing with Supreme Court rulings and court rulings when it comes to information that is protected for self-incrimination over the general populace. And guess what? All that technology gets filtered down to the local and police level. So you're kind of getting into this weird, murky gray area that sets off a bit of a chain reaction. I think that the more controls that are going to be placed over monitoring and spying domestically, in a sense, covered under the guise of protecting the interests of the nation as a whole for security, it just leads to a more totalitarian state. Just real quick, though, I'm using the GI Bill to go to college.
Oh, good for you. Now. Good, good, good.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And I was wondering if you had a good book that you could recommend for me to read.
Well, you know what? I've got one called The Dark Days of Camelot that I'm reading now about Kennedy.
Okay.
And that's good.
Ooh, okay.
And also the Chairman of Frank Sinatra book that just came out.
I'll definitely check him out. So anyway, those are my 2 cents. God bless you. And peace and love to everybody listening.
Thanks, Albert. Appreciate it. Good luck with school, too. Take advantage of it. You served in the military. Make sure they take care of you in school. Debbie in Pennsylvania. Hello, Debbie. Good morning.
Hello, George. I have been listening to Coast since time began. Or maybe it's been, I don't know, since Coast
began. Or before time began.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. But I have a question for you.
Okay.
When is JC and Oscar going to come back? You know, we miss that.
JC called in about a month and a half ago.
Really?
We don't know when he calls in. He just pops in, and then Tom gets the call, of course.
Yeah.
So, but Oscar is gone. And for people who are saying, who's Oscar? Who's JC?
I've been listening a long time.
You have. JC's a guy who's been calling us since the beginning of time. And he goes, you know, he rants and about everything. He hates everything.
Yeah. And, I just wanted to call in.
And Oscar is claiming to be like the son of the devil.
Yeah.
He was weird.
He was weird. In fact, I think one of the last times he called, he said he was going to be very busy, and he didn't know when he'd be able to
call. See, we think he worked at one of our affiliated radio stations.
Oh, really?
Listening to the show, bored, because he was just running the board by himself. And so he called into the show, and he would do that, and we think he got caught. And so they fired him.
Oh, that's a good reason to not call anymore.
That's right. So I think he's gone.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you so much. My call was quick. That's good because it's almost the end. So.
Okay, Debbie, thank you. Appreciate it. We go next to Marianna, Florida. John's with us, east of the Rockies. John, welcome to the show.
George.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good. How about you?
Doing great.
Good.
I just had a couple, tidbits.
Sure, go ahead.
Let's see. Orwell called it the thought police. this kind of touches on the data mining thing here.
Uh-huh, that's right.
Hollywood calls it pre-crime or pre-cog. Kasich, not too long ago, called it an idea battle. Okay, and kind of weird to me.
Well, he was probably spot on when he said that.
Yeah, and he said it on national television.
Yep.
And I just jumped out of my pants when I heard that. And George Carlin would call it soft language. And that's pretty much all I have to say, other than I think you should actually at one point try and play People Are Strange.
That's a great song.
People are strange. And
you can feel it, can't you?
People are very strange.
Acting weird, driving weird.
Yeah.
The whole thing. It's the strangest thing. I got behind somebody today on Ventura Boulevard, which is a very busy street. I don't like it because of the 13 years I've been out here, I've been rear-ended twice already. And you could see it. You know, you're stopped at a light, and you see them coming, and you know you're going to get hit, so you just brace yourself. But there was somebody doing about 5 miles an hour on Ventura Boulevard. And you know, you're trapped because there's so many cars on that road. You can't pull to the right. I was in the left-hand lane of two lanes. You can't, you're stuck. And I mean, it's just talk about frustrating. 5 miles an hour. Come on. Let's go to Dave in Reno, Nevada. Hey, David, take it away.
Hello, George.
Hi.
I just wanted to make an observation of the Nevada caucuses.
Sure.
If you don't mind, I got a little kind of a overview of my thoughts on how it's going so far.
Okay.
Whole deal. It's pretty obvious to me that no matter what, the path for Hillary is going to be paved by the powers that be, because I mean, with all her illegal activities that she's being investigated on that probably are not going to be acted upon, they're just here in Nevada. We had the Democrat caucuses on Saturday and mm-hmm. the Republican tonight. Well, there was like very strict rules that you had to be into the caucus room by like on Saturday, it was 12 noon. And you had to be in, and they were supposed to lock the doors, and you were supposed to have your ID and be registered and all that.
Right.
And I have my own observations, and I have friends that are pretty politically active, and they're involved in the process, you know, of observing and gathering the votes and all that. And they just said that, excuse me, she had so many violations, like, if you came in to vote for her, you could come. They would open the door for you after the 12th.
At any time. Jeez.
And then if you weren't an American legal citizen, but you were going to vote for Hillary, it's okay. Come on in. So, I mean, no matter what, I mean, because, and then you look at these delegate counts, and they virtually tied in, her and Bernie virtually tied in Iowa. And they kind of pretty much tied here in Nevada.
But she's got more delegates, much more.
Right, and he smoked her in, what, New Hampshire?
Yep.
And she's got like 405 delegates, and he's got like 30 or something like that.
I don't know if it's that high, but she's got more than he does.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's like it's ridiculously out of proportion, and it just, no matter what she says or does or has done or whatever, it just looks like that. It's just going to be paid. Once again, we're going to get all, you know, involved in this process, and it's just going to be the same thing. It's controlled from beginning to end. That's just my observation.
Well, it's a good observation. I'm going to make my full prediction on Tuesday night after the Super Tuesday results come in.
Great. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Appreciate it. Tom, we've got our final text message back there.
We do.
The phone that never stops.
Never, ever.
Buzzing.
I love this one. From Kelly in Boston, I heard a caller talking about Dr. Roger Lear, and I really appreciated the man.
Loved
I him. Wonder if you all could share your favorite memory with him.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you my Roger Lear joke, as a matter of fact. First of all, Roger Lear was a orthopedic doctor who removed what he believed to be alien implants. And he developed that as his career, and he was a great guest on Coast to Coast and a wonderful person.
Great guy.
I miss him. Miss him a lot. But I remember when you had me at an event, that's one of your responsibilities, and it was to give an award to Roger Lear. And so we decided, Tom and I decided to kind of spoof Roger Lear, and I was to, like, think I was giving the award to John Lear. Okay? You all know John Lear. He's been a guest, right? And so you remember this, Tom?
This is good.
I'm up on stage giving the award, and with a straight face, I'm introducing and talking about the life of John Lear. And you could see the audience beginning to say, he's got the wrong guy.
He's confused.
And you could see Roger Lear's face. As I mean, he knew he was going to get this recipient award, mm-hmm. but he's wondering, that's not me. and right at the end, I said, and I'd love to give this award to John Lear. And I look around, and the place is just aghast. They're in shock. And Tom comes up to me, It was all set up. It was a routine. And like whispers in my ear. And I immediately said, oh, I mean Roger Lear. And brought him up.
But people loved it.
I missed him.
It was like an Abbott Costello.
And my favorite Roger, I won't say the joke. I don't have time for it. But was the joke about him in the limo. And he sees the family eating grass. That was always a fun.
Remember when you dragged me to the operation? I was so glad I went.
That was great. Yeah, I did. That was one of the first things I did when I came here.
Amazing stuff.
That was with the implant in the woman's facial cheek as opposed to her other butt. But the facial cheek and a thing, he couldn't get it. It ran away from him.
Those pictures, by the way, are still up on the website.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, thanks, Tom.
Yep.
Let's go to Elaine in Fort Myers, Florida, on the wild card line. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning.
Hi.
I just wanted to ask something about this recent thing that's starting to go around. I don't know why it's all of a sudden started after all these years.
The Zika virus? It's got to be that,
no.
Right?
No. About this voice of the astronauts. Heard supposedly on the other side.
Oh, the music. The music. Well, they said that.
Voice. Yeah, music.
They said today it's probably interference, but who knows, huh?
I mean, why would that just come up after all these years? I was 13 in 1963 also. I don't know why this would come up after all these
40 years. 40 years.
Yeah. Right. And then I just didn't know if you heard any reliable opinions on what it really is or why it's come up after all these years or just what the whole
thing. Well, it wasn't great music. So if it was extraterrestrial, it wasn't, well orchestrated by any means. I think it was some kind of interference myself. That's my take.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay. Thanks, George.
Okay. Appreciate it, Elaine. Let's go next to Dave in Indiana. Hello, David. You're up with us on Coast to Coast.
Hello, George.
Hi.
It's been a long time, and now I need to go buy my Powerball ticket since I got on.
Perfect.
Just by listening to some of the callers tonight and the blind guy that was saying about JFK, I watched a lot of YouTube videos, and I actually watched the whole four-hour thing of Dr. Greer, G-R-E-E-R, that you had on not too long ago.
Right.
And I think it's plausible that one of the Secret Service guys accidentally shot Kennedy, or he was in on it because he was behind the motorcade that was behind him. And that's why some people can say they smelled some of
The gun smoke.
Gunpowder.
Yeah.
And
I don't think it was the driver, though.
Right. It wasn't the driver. It was like one of the Secret Service guys in the back seat. And but that's just by watching some YouTube videos and like, okay, that's possible, but with a lot of the documents that Dr. Greer got, that supposedly is true, or I just don't understand. Maybe it's possibly that some of those documents were manufactured just to make believe that there was really ETs, or maybe it was just to hide everything to where all their money's going, to all these black projects, and if you think about it. Out of all these years, even with ancient aliens, there's really not one single thing of hard evidence, a body or even, a UFO itself that crashed. I mean, they say there's always been crashes, but where is the really hard evidence? And there really is none.
Well, unless they have it. The government has it, tucked away somewhere.
It's possible, yes. But it's like, how come, it's like we just see all these videos and, all these conspiracy theories, but really there's no hard evidence. And, with like people that listen to this show, I listen to it all the time. I've been listening to it for over 15 years. And, they always bring up not really the Bible, but like all these end times things. And it's like, I don't really understand. Like some people believe in aliens, but then they always bring up end times, and that's from scripture. So it's just like, I don't really get it to where, okay, how can you believe in scripture from the Bible, but then we believe in aliens and all this other stuff? It just boggles my mind how a lot of this stuff doesn't really coincide with some of the beliefs that people should believe if they're a Christian or a Bible
believing people.
Well, I think you can be religious and believe in extraterrestrial life. The Catholic Church is doing that now. I mean, they're teaching people, hey, you know, that's probably very realistic. By the way, Linda Moulton Howe Thursday will have a complete series of reports on the Cape Girardeau UFO crash from 1941, Cape Girardeau, Missouri. That is an amazing story. Let's go to Dave in North Dakota. Hey, David, let's squeeze you in here. Welcome to the program.
Good morning from your friends and neighbors in the Bakken oil field.
There you are.
Here's my question. My question is, as a parent, how did you guide your children into finding their bliss? Because you, my friend, have found your bliss and you're doing it. Is that one thing that makes you happier than anything else, doing the Coast to Coast show?
That is true. In terms of my kids, I just let them evolve and do their own thing. I was always there to guide them, as I always told them. My role was to keep them from hitting the bottom, and the rest was up to them, and it worked for them. I mean, they've all got nice careers. They're all happy, healthy, thank God. That's the most a parent can ask for, I think. It's one of a kind. Danny in Long Island. Danny, only have a minute left, but let's squeeze you in.
Okay, yeah, I seen a show on a JFK assassination. They had this guy from Australia, a murder investigator.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like about a month ago. I forget what station he was on. And he did like a murder investigator. He said the Warren Commission had nobody from a murder investigation. He talked to Bethesda about the entry point and about at the exit point. And he put like a straight rod arrow.
Yeah.
Where the direction came from at the exact head position on the Zapruder film. And the federal shot came from the second car behind the CIA car.
Yeah, I saw that. That was a remarkable documentary on that situation. Look, we're almost out of time, but we're going to be doing, I hate to say this, I mean, we're going in the March. The Kennedy assassination is not until November 22nd. But I will be in Dallas, Texas for a major JFK event sometime this year, right around there. So make sure you're part of the program. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everybody.